Song. All right. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning, if you would, locate to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. If you'll remember, hopefully you do, for a few weeks we've been studying the characteristics of a New Testament church. Now, the last 2 weeks, instead of me preaching on that subject, you got to see it played out in this church. 2 weeks ago, we were able to commission and set aside a young lady to go to the mission field for 9 months. And Amber is there. She's in Costa Rica and working diligently. And you can follow her on her blog and her page. And if you haven't picked up one of the orange cards with all that information, they're on the back table there, so you can do that. And I encourage you to do that as well. So continue to pray for her and encourage her and support her. And then last Sunday, we were privileged to ordain 2 men to the deacon ministry of this church. And wow, what a beautiful service. Both of these services have been the last 2 weeks. And tremendous opportunity. And as we've been studying these characteristics, what a church should look like. And it was just wonderful to be able to see those things played out before our very eyes. And now, this morning, I want to pick up on this study in Acts chapter 2 as we continue on these characteristics and what should a church look like. We've got so many different styles, and, you know, and the problem is, I think people emphasize more style than they do substance. I think they're more about trying to be entertaining to lost people than they are trying to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we go back to Acts and lay aside all of our preferences and preconceived ideas and all those signs of things, and let's just see, what does the Bible say? What is it that made the early church so effective for reaching the gospel and reaching their world? And what can we learn in those characteristics and how they apply to us? And so we're in Acts chapter 2 this morning, beginning in verse 14. If you'll stand to read and honor the Word of God. Starting verse 14, and I'll read down through verse 21. Now this is on the day of Pentecost. We talked about how all those things set up. And now Peter, verse 14, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass," notice this, "that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Bless these few moments we have here together. Thank you for the beautiful service and time of fellowship and worship. Thank you for the great time of Bible study earlier in Sunday school. And we ask, Lord, that you'll speak to all of our hearts this morning and draw us close to you. If there's one here that does not know you as personal Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day they'll come and make the most important decision of their life and trust you in forgiveness of their sins. I pray that you'll do a work that's real in the heart of every life of every person under the sound of my voice today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, to properly understand where we've been and so forth at this point, we talk about we're just going to go through these pretty quick. We talk about as a way of introduction that the world has their view of the church, and many times that view is not the biblical view. So we need to change that. What was it about the characteristics of the other church? First, we studied that they had a person that they loved. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where it should always start in any church. The Lord Jesus Christ should be first and foremost number one. Then we saw that they had the power of the Lord. That was the Holy Spirit. We talked about how that on Pentecost, and they gave them power to do the work and the calling that God had told them to do. Then number three, we saw that they had a program that was limitless in Acts 1:8 of sharing the gospel, not just in their communities, but going around the world. Isn't it wonderful how we got to be a part of that 2 weeks ago and sending someone to five different countries over the next 9 months to share the word of God. And then the last one we studied was that they had promises that were lifting. There was the promise that Jesus Christ himself would return to this earth and gather his church and to rule and reign later on this earth. And then there was the promise of the revealing of the Holy Spirit, which took place in Acts chapter 2 of the coming of the Holy Spirit. So that's where we are. And those are the characteristics of what this church was all about. But then this morning, we come to number 5. And this morning, I'm going to give you 2 characteristics. We've had the last couple weeks to kind of do some other things. So you're going to have to listen fast, and I'm going to talk fast. Amen? I'll try not to let too much of my southern drawl be misunderstood. But you just hang in there with me, because I really want to get through these. And I think they're important, because these 2 characteristics I'm going to give you this morning are so interrelated together. I did not want to take 2 separate sermons to do it, which I could, but you know how that is. But anyway, so number 5, first one this morning we want to look at in the characteristic of a New Testament church was that they had preaching that was liberated. They had preaching that was liberated. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost in verse 14. This is the same Peter who just a few days earlier had denied the Lord Jesus Christ at his trial, who had stood at the camp of the enemy and warmed his hands, who had denied he even knew the Lord, even cursed and used the Lord's name in vain, and denied he had any part of anything with the Lord Jesus Christ prior to his crucifixion. This same Peter, after the resurrection, and he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in a resurrected body, and the Lord Jesus Christ forgave him and restored him in front of all the disciples at that seaside breakfast in John chapter 21. And told him to feed my sheep. This same Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost, and he's the one who preaches the first recorded full sermon of the New Testament church that we find here in the book of Acts. And he cuts loose, and like the old preacher said, he let her rip. He just let them have it. And I think Peter had about 40 days full of ready just to let it all out. I think what he had experienced in 3.5 years of following Christ, I think of the denial and the despair and the embarrassment of what he went through, and then for the Lord Jesus Christ to say that I'm going to use you, you're going to do great things for me, Peter, things you're not even going to understand right now. And Peter, under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, gets up and preaches one of the greatest sermons here in the book of Acts chapter 2. And I wish I could take this morning and expound and break down this entire sermon. But that's not the purpose of this message this morning. But the purpose of this message is to show you that one of the great characteristics of the New Testament church in the book of Acts was that they didn't have little seminars. They didn't have little programs and small groups of people just to get together so they could feel good and feel good about their sin and stay in their sin. But they had great men of God who opened up the Word of God and under the Spirit of God preached and let them have it. And folks, that's what the New Testament church ought to have. And if you're looking for a church somewhere, that's one of the things you need to find. Is if you find a church that has a man of God who's willing to get up, tell it like it is, let the chips fall where they may, and just tell what thus saith the Lord, and just expound the Scriptures, and exalt the Savior, and expose the sinners. And that's what the 3 points of that one's all about. Expound the Scriptures, exalt the Savior, and expose the sinners. Now listen, folks, our world is full of too many guys who are standing in a pulpit this morning who think that they've got a degree in counseling and psychology, that the purpose of them standing there is to give the news and views of the fads and fashions. And they've built groups of people who would come along and sit on their lattes and have their little cappuccinos and have their donuts and sit around. I was talking to a lady last week, and she said, I can't stand the church I go to. And I was scared to ask where it was. You know, you just don't know what. And she said, there's just something just grabs me about the church I go to. And I said, okay. And I swallowed real hard. I said, what is it? She said, They allow people in the church just to bring in their breakfast from Hardee's and McDonald's and Starbucks, and we sit there in church, and there's people rattling paper and munching on and sipping and spilling. It's just all over the place. I can't believe they let people do that, sit in a church and do that. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, you ought to find you another church. And she said, do you know one? I said, I sure do. I really do. I know a good one. It's not perfect, and it's not the greatest, I'm sure, if compared to whatever you want to say, because we're not perfect, but I want to tell you this. There's a man of God who will stand in the pulpit every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and open up the Word of God, and he'll let it rip, and he'll tell you like it is. I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm not here to you walk out of here and say, oh, that was so good, preacher. Bless your heart. And that's not why I do this. I'm called by Almighty God to stand here and tell you what thus saith the Lord. And what you need to do to get right with God in your life. And if you don't like what's said from this pulpit that comes from the Word of God, take it up with the guy who wrote it. I just want to get that out this morning. I just feel a whole lot better just letting it know. For almost 16 years, you've had a man of God stand here, and I've stood here and done my very level best to do what I can to spend time every week in the Word and pray and seek God's direction. And there are times that I stand up here and I'm sitting here going, Lord, why did you have me preach this? I don't understand why I'm saying this. But then somebody will come out and say, that's exactly what I needed. Oh, I needed that today, preacher. And I say, okay, God, you know what's going on. You know what's best. I don't know what's going on. And sometimes people will tell me, he says, you were pointing that finger right at me. And I said, no, I was doing it this way. I don't have a single shot pellet gun this morning. I've got a machine gun that goes all over. And I just want you to know that the preaching of the New Testament church was all about the Word of God and expounding what thus saith the Lord. Preaching should be from the Scriptures. It shouldn't be speculation. Preaching should be about what God says, not what the editor of the local newspaper says. Preaching should be exposing and telling sinners that unless you get right with God, God's going to judge you for your sin. And by the way, God still considers sin to be sin. He hasn't changed his view. No matter if the NCAA or the ACC or the SEC or the IRS or anybody else wants to move out, let them have it. Because if you don't want to stand with people of God, you can take your business somewhere else. By the way, I've just decided I have no interest in college or NFL or pro sports anymore. Because if you don't want to come to our, and I say our state because that's where I was raised, North Carolina. But if you don't want to come to a state just because they're going to stand up and protect the women and the children in their state from pedophiles and people who prey upon women and do the things that, you know, they do it. And if you don't want to do business with them, brother, we don't care about you bringing your football game and your basketball game somewhere. You can take it somewhere else. And I just can't figure out this part. Somebody explain to me why it's okay for professional sports organizations, who, by the way, ain't got no business in religion anyway because they can't even handle their own business. But why is it that they think that they can not do business with people who stand up for their beliefs, and it's okay for them to do that, but it's not okay for a baker or a florist to not do business with people because of their beliefs? You know, I found out that the most intolerant people are the people who want you to be tolerant. And they only want you to be tolerant if you agree with them. Well, what kind of tolerance is that? Yeah, you look like about some of the people who sit there and talk about these on these news shows. They go, I don't know, I can't figure it out. But listen, what it comes back to is we've gotten away from the Word of God. We've allowed a generation or more of people in this country to grow up without exposure to the expounding of the Word of God and what thus saith the Lord. And if you don't believe me, you walk in some of your churches and some of your any age group and ask some basic biblical questions of some people, and they'll look at you like, I ain't never heard of that before. And I'm talking about Noah and Jonah and David and Moses. I'm talking about Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Peter, James, and John. I'm talking about asking them people. Listen, it's amazing that how many people in our teenagers can name all the groups on the Dancing with the Stars this week, but they can't name the 12 disciples.
Amen.
I don't understand that. I don't understand how there are guys who can sit around tomorrow and talk about all the sports scores, and they can name every football game that was played over the weekend, but they still can't name the Ten Commandments. Now, there's a problem there. And the problem is that we've gotten away from our churches, in our churches, of expounding and preaching the Word of God. Peter was not concerned about them knowing his personal viewpoints on the things of society. And buddy, they had them. They had all the social issues like we've got them today. But let me tell you something. He took God's word, he lifted up Jesus, and he told sinners just like it was and what they needed to hear. And that is what a New Testament church should be about. It's preaching that is liberating. Whew, that was good. Man, I need some water. But notice number two. And there's a second characteristic. I told you I'm going to give you two this morning, so you got to listen. Not only preaching that was liberated, this one goes right along with it. There was praise that was lovely. Praise that was lovely. Now, the reason I put these two together is because I didn't want this sermon just to be just all about one of these points. But I think, and I believe, according to the Word of God, that if you've got biblical teaching and preaching in a church, you can't help but have praise of the Lord Jesus Christ going on at the same time. Because if the preaching is preaching the Word, if it's expounding the Scripture and exalting the Savior and exposing the sinner, then the natural result of that is that you're going to stand around and you're going to praise and worship God as a result of that. I know that there are some churches that emphasize just one of these characteristics that we've talked about in these last few weeks. And they shun the others. How tragic that is. It's like going to a buffet and having all these wonderful choices of items to enjoy, from the salad bar and all the healthy stuff, get down there to all the good fried stuff, get all the fattening stuff like the macaroni and cheese, and then get on the dessert bar and just have yourself a time, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's just like going to one of those places and saying, I think I'll just have a salad. Well, man, you're missing some good stuff. Well, I'm not supposed to eat all that. Well, don't tell everybody everything and don't eat so much of it. Just enjoy a little bit. But you don't have to shun all of it just to take one, because you're missing the whole thing. I believe God has given us a buffet of wonderful blessings for the New Testament church, and yet sometimes we're just not comfortable with all of it. We don't think that's the best for us. We don't want to do too much. They might call us something else, and we might get labeled something else. Listen, don't worry about all those things. God has given us all of these things to bring together into people of God, to make us grow and be effective in witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to grow as a believer. So don't miss it. Don't miss it. Notice the praise that was lovely. Here in Acts chapter 2, after the sermon, and we know that 3,000 people get saved, baptized that same day. And in, beginning in verse 42, we start seeing these characteristics played out. But don't you know, in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to give you just a couple verses here that you can mark down to show this praise that takes place that was lovely in church. It says, as a result of all that was going on, notice that they were praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were praising God. They weren't praising the disciples. They weren't praising Peter's sermon. They weren't praising the program. They weren't praising the denomination or the association. They were praising God. Notice in chapter 3, probably on the same page, as a result of a lame man getting healed, there in verse 89 says, when he leaped up, he stood, walked, entered to the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people who saw him were walking and praising God. Listen, you think that guy had something, praise God? He'd been crippled all his life. He couldn't walk. Now he could run, jump, and have a hallelujah. He was praising God. In Acts chapter 16, we see Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail. And at midnight, what it says that they were doing, they weren't calling their lawyer. They weren't getting the ACLU involved. And they weren't calling the media and complaining and griping that their rights had been violated. What was Paul and Silas doing at midnight? They were praising God. They were singing and worshiping God. And God shook the jail and freed them, and souls were saved as a result. But I want you to notice, and this is a verse I want you to turn to that's not there in Acts, because this whole praise thing comes together, and I give you three words here. It's private. We should praise God in private. I'm telling you what, you're just missing out if you just don't get along with God every day and just get together and pray. I'm not talking about getting along with God and giving him your wish list, giving your gripe and complain list. I'm talking about get along with God and say, God, I just want to thank you. I just want to praise you. Everything's not perfect, but boy, there's a lot of people worse off than I am. And I know I don't have everything I want, but I got a lot of what I need. And I just want to praise you. And God, if you don't give me anything else the rest of my life, I can still praise you today. Amen. You ought to have those kind of times. And you ought to get together in public like we're doing here this morning. And we all just come together and just praise God. I mean, just worship me. Somebody said, well, if I raise my hand, they might think I'm Pentecostal. I don't think that's a problem in this church. Amen? I really don't. I was a school teacher part-time. And when I was working part-time in the church, and I was a substitute school teacher and used to teach school. That's why I do a lot of things that I do. I still got a lot of school teacher in me, you know, Jeannie. And I still do some of those kinds of things. And I'll never forget, I was preaching one time, and there was a lady back there, and she raised her hand and almost stopped and asked her. I said, oh, she's got a question. Because I almost did. And I thought to myself, no, she don't have a question. And I just kept on preaching. And just a little while, there was a fellow over here on this side. He raised both hands. And I said, man, he's real curious. He's got two questions, you know. And I thought to myself, and those people in that church, they'd never seen anything like that before. And they said, why is people raising their hands? Let me show you why. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 15 says this. The writer of Hebrews says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We ought to be praising God publicly, privately, and perpetually. Amen. It should be something that should be a part of our very fabric, our very lives, and a very part of our worship services each and every time we meet. It should be something that is just so much going. And you say, well, preacher, I just don't feel like all the time I've got something I can praise the Lord about. Well, then you need to get in the book of Psalms. You need to stay there till you do. You get in the book of Psalms and you think that you're going to have all this worship service stuff. And there's a lot of it in there. But do you realize that most of the Psalms were written by David? And David had more troubles than all of us put together. And David had a rough life. David had things going on in his life, but still God said he's a man after my own heart. And David would write these wonderful psalms, and sometimes I'd read them, and I said, bless his heart. Man, he's got it rough. I'm glad I'm not David, you know. And then you go through and find, and then just a little bit later on, he'd be writing about praising God. And the psalms are filled with praising God daily, praising God continually, praising God increasingly, praising God in different parts of your life. And our lives should be all about praising God. Listen, how many of you took time to praise God before you got to church? You should have. Even if you're in the drive-thru at Hardee's, praise God that Hardee's is open. Amen? I mean, just think of that. Praise God you didn't have to cook the breakfast. You got somewhere you can go. Praise God before you get to church. And you say, why do I need to do that? That way you're keyed up and primed for what God's going to do when you get here. Don't wait to get here and start trying to crank it up. You know, by the time you get cranked, it's done. You're over. You've missed it. You ought to spend some time praising God. That's why I don't watch the news on Sunday mornings. People come to church all the time. Do you see the news? No, I don't. I don't want to see the news on Sunday mornings. In fact, I usually don't see it on Sunday nights either. I don't want it to ruin my day. that I spend in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. I just don't. Just nothing I want to see on the news. Because I don't want my mind filled with all the garbage of the stuff and the opinion. I just don't. Sometimes I find me a good Brother Ralph Sexton or Brother David Jeremiah. I find some good old-fashioned preaching. And if I can't find that, a Gaither singing or put on a Gaither. And I get myself primed and keyed up. Then I go to McDonald's. Say, why don't you go to Hardee's anymore? Well, the line was a little long. But McDonald's, their tea's a dollar. Amen. You get tea for a dollar at McDonald's. I said, well, why'd you go to McDonald's? Because Chick-fil-A's closed on Sundays. So I got to go to McDonald's. And so I get my sweet tea, and I'm keyed up. I mean, I listen to Brother Scott Dean on the radio on WTBI this morning, and I'm just all ready to go. We ought to have a life of praise. We got a lot to praise God about in this church. You look around 16 years ago, there's a bunch of y'all wasn't here 16 years ago when I came. And some of the ones who were here have graduated to heaven now and left us here to carry on the work. We got a lot to praise God about. We got a lot to thank Him for. You say, well, preacher, we don't have everything we want. Here's something you need to get a hold of, this truth that will change your life. You'll never get everything you want. Amen. Did you get that? That'll help you this morning. You will never get everything you want. You think you get one thing, you're going to want something else. And by the time you get the thing you wanted, guess what? It's already outdated. They got a new version of it. Doesn't that just gripe you? You save up and try to find, and you finally get that little device and that little thing that you've been wanting, and the next thing you know, there's a commercial of an updated version, and yours looks like a dinosaur. You know, and you're thinking, man, you know, you won't even sell that thing on eBay anymore. Listen, you'll never get everything you want. But let me tell you this. You got a lot to praise God about. You got a lot to praise God for this morning. And I quoted B.R. Lakin a while ago, the great evangelist B.R. Lakin said, if God never gives me anything else in my life, I'll still praise Him till the day I die. Amen. Because He's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. I got something here. I got it right here. And I've been trying to figure out how I was going to do this. And I'm just going to do it this way. I got a call this week. And as you know, our secretary's husband was in the hospital. He had surgery to put in a pacemaker. My wife was having surgery outpatient this week, too. So we were just kind of in and out of the office all week long. And stopped by here for a few minutes, and there was a message on the machine. And it was from an out-of-area code. And the message was, a lady said, my husband and I want to stop by your church. And we have something for you. We just want to know when we could do it. Well, I thought to myself, I said, I looked at the area code, I went, they got the wrong church. They're in the wrong area code. You know how that happens. You've dialed the wrong number, and you get somebody in Timbuktu, wherever Timbuktu is. So I thought, well, I didn't have time to call her. So I said, I had to run. I had to go in something, getting done. A little while later in the day, I came back by here, and I came back, and I wrote down a sticky note. Here's the sticky note with the name and the number and why she wanted to call. And I thought, you know, I have no idea what's going to take place. I need to go ahead and call this lady. Maybe we can set it up one day next week. Maybe whenever and I'm still thinking she got the wrong church. Because this is what she told me. I called her and she said, my husband and I have a donation we'd like to bring to your church. And I looked and it said, area code 843. And I thought, you got the wrong number. You got the wrong church. And I said, that 843 is the lower part of the state. And so I called her and I said, I just want to call you back and touch base with you. I said, when do you think you're going to be in the area up here? She said, preacher, we pulled in the parking lot right now. And I'm thinking, she's at the wrong church. She's down the lower part of the state somewhere. She's called the wrong place, and she's in the wrong place. And that happens occasionally with our church's names. You know, White Plains, there's White Field in our association even. You know, a lot of people get our names confused and everything else. And I said, I said, well, if you're at our church, you'll see my white car parked outside. She said, yep, I see it right here in front of the air conditioners next to the cemetery. And I went, oh, she is at the right church. Hello. I said, you mean you're here? She said, yes, we just pulled up beside you. And I said, well, I'll be right out. So I came out. Nice man, nice lady gets out. Still, I'm thinking they're at the wrong church. And they come in, and I said, well, come on in. I said, what can I do for you? And this man says, well, my mother passed away a couple years ago. And I said, well, I'm so very sorry to hear that. And he told me her name. Never heard of it. Told me the name she was married. Never heard that name. And, you know, I've been here 16 years, and I've heard a lot of y'all's names and your families and a lot of names in the cemetery and a lot of connections with all. None of these names. I never heard of these names. And I'm sitting here saying, they got the wrong church. But he said 2 years ago, when she passed away, we had some things we had to settle with her estate. And when her estate was settled, she left in her will because of the man she was married to, which was not my dad. He, years ago, somehow was in this church or connected to this church. Hadn't figured out how yet, okay? I've asked several people these names, and nobody knows them. And so when she left her will, she decided that she wanted to leave a portion of her estate to White Plains Baptist Church. And I said, well, bless her heart. That's wonderful. And I have no idea what. So he reaches out, and she has the paper. He said, preacher, would you sign that we're delivering this to you? We've got to give this back to probate court. I said, okay. And then when she handed me the check, then I said, oh, she's at the right church. Because it's got made out to White Plains Baptist Church. So I know that they're at the right church. But then when she handed me the check, I had to sit down like this, up here against the stage. Because this sweet lady, who I have no idea she ever went to this church or came here, just because her husband was here many years ago and somebody's married, you know, that they knew before. And these folks had never been here. They didn't know how to get here. They're following GPS. And they went through Piedmont and Powdersville to get here from Charleston. And wrote a check of the portion of her estate for $16,000. $997.39. I said, oh, she's at the right church. She's at the right church. Because it says White Plains Baptist Church here. And I said, Tony, I don't know what to say. He said, listen, my mama loved Jesus. She loved sharing the gospel. And she loved making sure people heard the word of God. She said, please use it in whatever you need to do that at this church. And whatever it is you need. And I'm sitting here going, well, you know, we got this, you know, and everything else. And I'm sitting here going, and I'm thinking, you know what? $16,997.39. I don't know, folks. But after those folks walked, I had prayer with them. I thanked the Lord for the memory of my mama and everything else. And I just thanked them. I said, is there anything I could do for them? And they said, no. I said, just traveling on, handling business and getting things done and everything else. And they went out that door. And I just went myself. And I just went over here like this. And I said, thank you, God. We've been trying to figure out how to do some things around here. We had no idea this was coming. And I just had myself a time. Woo! I can't believe I did it in front of people. Because I did it in private first. I went up and down this altar while that day just back and forth and just praising God. Listen, you can get excited at a football game or a NASCAR race if you want to. But, buddy, I get excited about the things of God. And I'm not ashamed of it.
Woo!
He does.
He will.
Exactly. We've seen it all. There's example after example in this church of how God's provided for. I had no idea that was coming. And again, I wouldn't even plan on being here. I had so many places to get to. And the fact that when I called her on her cell phone, she's pulling in the parking lot from Charleston at the same time. Don't tell me God's not in control. Amen. Don't tell me God's not in charge. Don't tell me we don't have nothing to praise God about. Thank God for that this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came to church today. I'm glad I came to church the other day. Ooh, I dropped my notes. Let me give you the concluding slide, and I'm done. Every week of this series, I've given you this statement. The world today should see the church as it was in the New Testament. The reason we have trouble getting people to come to church is because we're trying to make the church too much like the world.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say go out into the world and look like them and act like them. He says be different. You're peculiar. You're strange. But you've got a great message. Love them. Reach them. Tell them. And watch me do something that only I can do, is what God says. Only I can do. Let's pray together. Jeannie and Vicky are coming. We're going to have a praising song of invitation this morning. Oh, dear God, thank you so much. Lord, I didn't plan this service like this. I had no idea what you wanted to do today. God, I just want to praise you. I don't want to praise you just for a check. God, I want to praise you for more than that. I want to praise you for taking care of us. I want to praise you for providing for us. I just want to praise you for showing your mighty hand. To some people, it's just paint on the wall, but it's not. It's the sanctuary of God. It looks nice this morning. Thank you for that. It may be just a bus just sitting in the garage down there, but Lord, it's more than that. It's a vehicle that you've allowed us to get fixed, that runs now and it works, and it didn't cost us as much as we thought it would. Thank you for that. Oh, thank you for these precious people who've made their way here today, who could have gone somewhere else and done something else, but Lord, they're here today. And I know there are others who want to be here and couldn't. God, I just want to praise you. Praise you for letting me be the pastor. Lord, I know many people can do a whole lot better job than me. I know that. I got my faults and my failures, and I fall short so much. Oh, God, thank you for allowing me to do what you've called me to do since I was 10 years old in this place. I just want to praise you this morning. Oh, God, I just want to praise you. I just want to lift you up. Thank you for providing for our church, for blessing us with some of the sweetest people this side of heaven, for giving us a legacy of people who've gone on before us, who's some of the greatest saints of God I've ever met, who are now enjoying your presence, and they've graduated and received their reward. Thank you so much for them. And Lord, just thank you that we could come here. And we don't worry about what anybody else does or thinks and who's doing it down the road and what they do it across town. But Lord, we're here for you. We're not here for the deacons, and we're not here for the trustees, and we're not here for the preacher, and we're not here for the visitors. We're here for you. Thank you for that. And I just want to praise you this morning. And Lord, I just want to take this time of the service. If there's something we need to do, if we just want to come on this altar and just praise you this morning, we just come and do it. If there's something we need to do in our life to be right with you, I pray we'd do it. And Lord, I pray that we'd just not leave this place until we're just all prayed up and praised up. Thank you for the preaching of your word. Thank you for the praise that is lovely. And Lord, I just want to give you honor for it this morning. This I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Some are coming.